The information in this skill is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Multiple Sclerosis Flash Briefings.
Hello, I'm Bryce Wooldridge, and you're listening to Multiple Sclerosis News Today's audio news. These are today's news highlights curated by our editorial staff. Visit our website at multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. for more relevant news and patient perspectives. ATA 188 could be game-changing for progressive MS. In an early clinical trial, Atara Biotherapeutics' investigational treatment, ATA 188, stabilized or eased disability in most people with non-active progressive forms of MS, with those benefits now having been sustained for up to 4 years. For MS patients in whom disability progressively accumulates over time, and for whom few disease-modifying therapies exist, such a treatment could be transformative, A.J. Joshi, M.D., Chief Medical Officer at Atara, said in an interview with Multiple Sclerosis News Today. "What we're looking at is a very transformational benefit," Joshi said. "If we could actually reverse disability progression in these non-active patients, that's really a game-changing opportunity for patients." The treatment's benefits were observed in the Phase 1 portion of the ongoing EMBOLD Phase 1-2 clinical trial and its open-label extension study, which enrolled patients with non-active secondary progressive MS and non-active primary progressive MS. In the initial trial, a total of 24 patients received ATA 188 at doses ranging from 5 to 40 million cells. ATA 188 was administered in 2 cycles of treatment, each comprised of 3 intravenous infusions, given 1 week apart. Participants were monitored for 1 year following the first infusion, after which 18 patients chose to enroll in the open-label extension part. Those patients are continuing to receive ATA 188 for up to 4 years. Extremely uncommon disability improvements. Data spanning EMBOLD and the OLE demonstrated that 9 of the overall 24 patients achieved sustained disability improvement. This was defined as an improvement in Expanded Disability Status Scale, or EDSS scores, or a 20% reduction in the time needed to walk 25 feet, a common test of motor function, recorded in at least 2 consecutive visits. EDSS is a scale ranging from 0 to 10 that is commonly used by clinicians to monitor changes in disability among MS patients, with higher scores reflecting more significant disability. 7 of the patients in this group achieved a clinical outcome called Confirmed Disability Improvement, or CDI, defined as improving EDSS scores confirmed at 2 visits in a row. Another 13 people had stable EDSS scores, meaning no improvement and no progression. The other 4 experienced confirmed disability progression or an accumulation of disability. After up to 4 years of follow-up, the 5 patients with CDI who remain in the OLE have maintained their improvements for all subsequent clinic visits, with a median duration of improvement of 27.5 months, or more than 2 years. The 8 participants with stable EDSS scores still in the OLE also have remained stable for a median of 41.2 months, or more than 3 years. At least 1 patient experienced disease stabilization for up to 48.5 months, a little over 4 years. In EMBOLD, an improvement in EDSS was found when scores lowered at least 1 point for patients with scores of 3 to 5 at the study's start, and at least 0.5 points for individuals with EDSS scores of 5.5 to 7. For people with progressive MS, an improvement, even a small improvement, of 0.5 point or a full point really means a lot to a patient, Bridget Baggert, MD, director of the Ochsner Multiple Sclerosis Center, said in the interview. For example, EDSS of 6 means a patient can walk a football field with a cane. They can do it, but not without some sort of unilateral assist in their hand, Baggert said. An improvement to EDSS of 5.5 means they can do it without the cane. For an individual who is living with multiple sclerosis, that's huge, Baggert said. To put the cane down, to be able to go out, go to the mall, go shopping, or even go to their kid's football game without a cane, that's big stuff, right? Function goes up as scores go down, Baggert said. If you go further down to EDSS 5, it would be 2 football fields without a cane. These are really very, very significant changes, as you can imagine, she said. In the EMBOLD trial, one of the most striking improvements was observed in a progressive MS patient who initially had an EDSS score of 5.5 just 3 months after treatment. That patient reached an EDSS score of 3.5, which further dropped to an EDSS of 3, meeting moderate disability and no difficulty walking, at 30 months of follow-up. Two additional patients with disability improvement had an EDSS score of 6 at study start and experienced score reductions to 4.5 within about 2 years of follow-up. Achieving these gains for a substantial period of time is extremely uncommon in this patient group, according to Baggert. "We don't see that commonly at all in patients with progressive forms of MS," she said. According to Joshi, EMBOLD recruited people with non-active progressive forms of MS, precisely because those are the patients who could benefit the most from disability improvements. "The biggest unmet need area is actually addressing disability for patients who have non-active disease," Joshi said. But he noted that, even among the therapies available for active disease, very few have even tried to address disability, and those that do have a modest at best impact on slowing progression. To date, Ocrevus remains the only approved treatment for PPMS, and Mitoxanthrone the only therapy available for non-active SPMS. But trial results from EMBOLD are looking quite different compared with what was seen for these therapies, the researchers said. For example, in the Oratorio Phase 3 trial, Ocrevus significantly outperformed a placebo at slowing disability progression in people with active and non-active PPMS. "But everybody was getting worse," Baggert said. "That's the significant difference," she said. "In EMBOLD, we have a big chunk of patients who improved and sustained it, and another group that stayed stable, which is also notable." The researchers cautioned that these are still early data for ATA188, and that Phase 3 trials are needed to confirm the findings. However, Baggert noted that this sustained improvement has never really been seen in progressive MS trials. "I hope we'll continue to see it in the future trials for the sake of our patients," she added. In addition to the clinical benefits, patients in EMBOLD who achieved confirmed disability improvement showed evidence of increased magnetization transfer ratios, or MTR, on MRI scans. MTR is considered to be a measurement of myelin density, Joshi said. That means that patients with higher MTR scores could be experiencing remyelination, or the repair of the myelin sheath that's progressively lost in MS. While EDSS scores are a good indicator of improvements, there is always some subjectivity in such clinical assessments, he noted. That's where MTR begins to come in, as MRI findings like MTR provide the biological basis for the clinical findings and are a good way to support that something's actually changing for these patients. How does ATA188 work? ATA188 was developed based on the increasingly well-established link between MS and the Epstein-Barr virus, or EBV, one of the most common viruses in the world. EBV, as Epstein-Barr is called, lives in a latent state inside B cells, the immune cells responsible for producing antibodies, to prevent its reactivation. The virus is kept in check by other components in the immune system, namely T cells, which become programmed to recognize and fight off EBV during initial infection. For most of us who've already been infected with EBV, our T-cells completely controlled EBV infection. But for an MS patient, T-cells aren't able to control it, Joshi said. AT-188 is comprised of T-cells collected from healthy donors who have been previously injected with EBV. It specifically includes a population of T-cells primed to attack certain proteins found only on EBV-infected cells. Essentially, the therapy generates a large population of cells that can eliminate those EBV-infected B cells that have those very specific EBV proteins, Joshi said. And importantly, ATA-188 is not genetically modified in any way. The specificity of the treatment for the infected cells also means ATA-188 may be safer than other genetically modified T-cell therapies, which often are associated with severe side effects. With some of these modified therapies, intensive care units are ready to receive the patient in case of life-threatening side effects, and patients need to stay close to the facility for about a month in case any adverse events develop later on, Joshi explained. but with ATA-188 after a 5 to 10 minute into the vein infusion. Patients remain in the facility to monitor the vital stats for a couple of hours, and they go home. So it's a very different profile because it's not genetically engineered, he said. And in fact, the potentially serious immune side effects that are commonly seen with modified T-cell therapies, including cytokine release syndrome, seizures, and neurological side effects, have not been observed in the EMBOLD trial. Future of EBV-targeted therapies. As EMBOLD was progressing, two landmark studies emerged earlier this year, further strengthening the link between EBV and MS. In the first, researchers identified a prior EBV infection in nearly all people who later developed MS, demonstrating that the virus raises the risk of the neurodegenerative disease by about 32 times. Weeks later, another study found that a process called molecular mimicry, in which the body's immune system mistakes a protein expressed in the brain with the virus and erroneously attacks it, could underlie the relationship. With the emergence of these research studies, both Joshi and Baggert agree the interest in developing EBV-targeted therapies for MS has grown, and they say these therapies could become part of MS treatment regimens in years to come. There has been a tremendous amount of excitement, Baggert said. Understanding EBV to be at the root of MS is definitely going to change where future investments are targeted and future therapeutic developments, especially in progressive MS. While no vaccine is yet approved for preventing EBV altogether, clinical trials and others are underway. These trials will be very interesting, according to Baggert, as they may help understand if MS can be prevented by targeting EBV. As for the development of ATA-188 itself, Joshi said it hasn't necessarily changed in response to these emerging EBV studies, though the attitude around it has. I wouldn't say the development has changed, because obviously we've been out on the forefront of this for several years with this program, Joshi said. The main things that are different is there's been more momentum, more excitement around it, both in the patient community and the physician community. As an example, Joshi noted that some companies have been setting up specific divisions to try to understand how they want to tackle EBV and MS, he said. So that entire momentum is real, the biggest difference in the way we look at our program. Joshi also explained that EBV-targeted therapies are particularly exciting because they may be effective for patients with all forms of the disease, even when these treatments aren't started early in the disease course. We are focused on the later-stage patients because I don't think you can forget about them either. These are the people who actually have the disease and who need it the most, Joshi said. What's unique is that these EBV-directed therapies may be able to hit it all. Thus, although EMBOLD's findings support ATA-188's development for non-active progressive MS patients, the company expects the treatment to be similarly effective for individuals with active, relapsing forms of the disease. If you think about the pathology of MS, whether it's active disease or progressive disease, much of it is still driven by the autoimmune cascade that's caused by some of those EBV-infected cells, Joshi said. So we would expect ATA-188 to be available to impact both relapsing and progressive forms of the disease in a very positive fashion. It is definitely part of the development program to test ATA-188 in relapsing forms of MS, Joshi added. Meanwhile, Atara is moving forward with ATA-188's development for progressive MS patients. Earlier this year, ATA-188 earned fast-track designation from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration for non-active SPMS and non-active PPMS, which aims to speed the clinical development of much-needed treatments for indications like these toward regulatory approval. While awaiting top-line data from EMBOLD's Phase 2 portion, which is evaluating ATA-188 against a placebo in non-active progressive forms of MS, the company plans to continue interacting with the FDA under the fast-track status to prepare two upcoming Phase 3 trials. One is planned for non-active SPMS and one for non-active PPMS patients. Results from EMBOLD are expected in late 2023 and will continue to inform the development program of ATA-188. Atara also is looking to establish partnerships that help advance ATA-188 into larger trials and additional indications. We've had lots of conversations with potential partners as we try to move the program forward, because as you might imagine, as we think about further studies and eventually Phase 3 trials and other expanded indications and things like relapsing disease, that's a lot for a small company to handle, Joshi said. When asked how he envisioned EBV-targeted therapies fitting into the MS treatment landscape in the next 10 years, Joshi said, "I would anticipate, assuming these data continue to come out well, that EBV-directed therapies, including ours, would become foundational. We already do some combination therapy today in MS," Joshi said. "I wouldn't be surprised if 8 to 10 years from now, that becomes the de facto standard. And how you mix and match, that's going to be the interesting part as we all learn together and get more and more information and try to work things out." Baggert agrees that combinations of EBV-directed therapies with other DMTs could be the future of MS treatment, but also noted there are very important questions that still need to be sorted, namely, a better understanding of the mechanism by which EBV could be leading to MS could greatly influence future directions, she explained. "So there's still a lot of research to be done and a lot of exciting areas to explore," she said. This news article was written by Lindsay Shapiro, PhD, on November 7, 2022. Click the link in the description below to read more on this and other topics of interest on the MS News Today's website. New analyses say ublituximab is superior to Aubagio. The experimental therapy ublituximab works better than the approved treatment Aubagio at easing disability independently of relapses and at reducing overall disease activity in adults with relapsing forms of multiple sclerosis. That's according to exploratory analyses of pooled data from the identical Ultimate 1 and Ultimate 2 Phase 3 clinical trials, which compared the two MS therapies. These findings add to previous Ultimate results showing that TG Therapeutics' ublituximab outperformed Aubagio in lowering relapse rates and brain lesions. "We believe the data continue to show an encouraging profile for ublituximab to treat patients with relapsing MS, if approved," Michael Weiss, TG Therapeutics chairman and CEO, said in a company press release. TG Therapeutics filed for U.S. approval of ublituximab last year, and a regulatory decision is expected by December 28. The company also plans to file for a similar approval in Europe. Treatments compared in Ultimate trials. Results from these and other additional exploratory analyses of the Ultimate trials were presented in 5 posters at the 38th Congress of the European Committee for Treatment and Research in Multiple Sclerosis, held October 26 to 28, both virtually and in Amsterdam, Netherlands. Ublituximab is an experimental antibody-based therapy that works by promoting the death of B cells, a type of immune cell implicated in the abnormal immune attacks that drive neurodegeneration in MS. It is administered directly into the bloodstream through a 1-hour infusion every 6 months. The Ultimate trials evaluated the safety and effectiveness of nearly 2 years of treatment with ublituximab against Aubagio, Sanofi's approved oral MS therapy. The trials involved a total of 1,094 adults with active relapsing forms of MS. Top-line results showed that ublituximab treatment significantly reduced relapse rates and the number of brain lesions as compared with Aubagio. Post-ad hoc analyses, or those designed and carried out after a trial is completed, demonstrated that the experimental therapy also was associated with an increased chance of experiencing disability improvements, meaning less disability, among patients. So those given ublituximab also were more likely to achieve a 3-parameter no evidence of disease activity, or NEDA-3, defined as the absence of relapses, new brain lesions, and 3-month confirmed disability worsening. At ECTRIMS 2022, the poster presentations reported the results of a number of additional post-hoc analyses. In the poster, ublituximab treatment is associated with a significant proportion of participants achieving NEDA-4. The researchers analyzed the proportion of Ultimate participants who achieved NEDA-4. This measure includes the same 3 parameters of NEDA-3, as well as annual brain shrinkage, that's less than a specific threshold. As brain atrophy is associated with both cognitive dysfunction and poorer outcomes, including long-term disability progression, an expanded definition of NEDA that incorporates brain atrophy, or NEDA-4, may provide a more comprehensive evaluation of disease activity and progression, the researchers wrote. A brain volume loss of 0.4% or higher per year has been suggested as a cutoff value to define disease-associated brain atrophy in people with MS, they noted. Three different brain shrinkage thresholds were used in the analysis: 0.4%, 0.8%, and 1.2%. Also, NEDA-4 parameters at 2 years were compared with those at 6 months of treatment, instead of the study's start, as 6 months would allow ublituximab to have an effect on disease outcomes, the team said. The results showed that fewer patients on ublituximab than Aubagio experienced brain shrinkage, exceeding each of the defined thresholds. These differences failed to reach statistical significance. Still, the rate of brain shrinkage in the ublituximab group was much closer to that expected for healthy people than that reported for relapsing MS patients. In addition, a significantly higher proportion of ublituximab-treated patients achieved NEDA-4 across all brain shrinkage thresholds, specifically 44.2% of ublituximab-treated patients versus 13.5% of Aubagio-treated patients achieved NEDA-4 with the 0.4% threshold. The differences were larger in the other two thresholds, 68% of those on ublituximab versus 19% given Aubagio achieved NEDA-4 at the 0.8% threshold, while the rates were 71.9% versus 19.6% at the 1.2% threshold. This meant that patients on ublituximab were 5 to 11 times more likely to meet NEDA-4 than those in the Aubagio group. In pooled post-hoc analyses across a range of annual BLV thresholds, significantly more participants achieved NEDA-4 with ublituximab versus Aubagio in Ultimate 1 and 2, the researchers wrote. Analyzing the two MS therapies, in another poster, this one titled "Disability Changes and the Absence of Relapse in the Phase 3 Ultimate 1 and 2 Studies of Ublituximab versus Teriflunomide in Participants with Relapsing Multiple Sclerosis," the researchers looked at disability outcomes specifically in the 473 ublituximab-treated and 406 Aubagio-treated participants who did not experience relapses during the trials. This analysis was based on the fact that long-term disability progression, independent of relapse, is common in patients with relapsing remitting MS, and that approved anti-CD20 therapies are associated with a reduction in disability progression, independent of relapse, the researchers wrote. Results showed that ublituximab treatment resulted in consistently greater improvements in disability, as assessed with reductions in the Expanded Disability Status Scale score, a measure of disability progression. The difference between groups reached statistical significance at the 48, 84, and 96-week assessments, reflecting a twofold greater improvement in disability relative to Aubagio, with adjustments for potential influencing factors. Changes in other disability outcomes also favored ublituximab. Compared with Aubagio, the experimental therapy was associated with a 55.1% greater improvement in the multiple sclerosis functional composite, a composite measure that combines scores on the 9-hole peg test, the timed 25-foot walk, and a cognitive test called the Paced Auditory Serial Addition Test. The 9-HPT, which assesses finger dexterity, showed a 6 times greater increase, indicating better function, in the ublituximab group relative to those on Aubagio. In the T25FW, which measures the time needed for a patient to walk 25 feet, patients on ublituximab became significantly faster at the test than those treated with Aubagio, who actually became slower. This exploratory analysis of pooled data from the Ultimate trials highlights that ublituximab was associated with significant improvements versus Aubagio across multiple disability measures in the subset of participants without confirmed relapses, the researchers wrote. These results further support improved disability outcomes with ublituximab versus Aubagio in participants with relapsing MS, independent of a reduced risk of relapse, they concluded. This news article was written by Marta Figueredo, Ph.D., on November 3, 2022. Click the link in the description below to read more on this and other topics of interest on the MS News Today's website, multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. This is MS News Today's audio news. Subscribe to our channel and never miss an episode. And if you're listening on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts, hit save. Thanks for tuning in.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our Multiple Sclerosis News Today forums, a trusted MS community ready to welcome you anytime.